All right, let's dive in. Ever think about what happens when, a big agency like the FTC comes knocking with accusations? Like, can a business just immediately fight back? Or is it more complicated?
It's definitely a question that keeps a lot of folks up at night. And,
Yeah.
there's actually a major Supreme Court case that really gets at that FTC v. Standard Oil of California back in 1980.
Oh, yeah, SoCal.
Exactly, SoCal. And it kind of lays out the limits of judicial review when it comes to, agency actions like that.
So this isn't just some theoretical thing. This has some serious real-world implications.
Oh, absolutely. This case is like foundational. And one of the things it tackles is this idea of final agency action. Like, think of it this way. The FTC issues a complaint. Does that automatically mean a company's guilty?
Good question. I'm sensing a big old nope coming.
You got it.
Yeah.
It's more like, well, I'll explain the analogy later, but first let's get into what exactly happened with SoCal.
Right back to the 70s. So what landed SoCal in hot water with the FTC?
Well, the FTC was looking into the oil industry, specifically anti-competitive practices. They issued a complaint alleging that SoCal, among others, was manipulating the supply of crude oil.
Classic antitrust stuff, trying to jack up those prices.
Pretty much, and that's where things get interesting. Instead of just going through the FTC's process, which, can drag on, SoCal took a bold
You
move.
went straight to court, huh? Like, not waiting around for this.
Exactly. They argued that the FTC's complaint was actually final agency action under the APA, the Administrative Procedure Act.
Now, I know the APA, like every lawyer does, but for our listeners, just a super quick reminder.
Sure thing. Basically, it's the rule book for how agencies do their thing, including when courts can step in.
Okay, so SoCal's saying, hey, this complaint's a final decision, we can fight it now. Makes sense, right? If you think you're being wrongly targeted, why wait around?
Seems logical,
Right.
but the Supreme Court didn't buy it. They actually sided with the FTC.
Interesting. So this is where the rubber meets the road, legally speaking.
It really is. The Supreme Court basically set a precedent that still affects how businesses handle agency complaints today.
Okay, I gotta know, what was the court's reasoning for shutting down SoCal's strategy? Like, why no immediate court battle?
Well, Justice Powell, who wrote the majority opinion, said a few key things. First, he emphasized that the FTC's reason to believe standard for issuing a complaint is just a starting point.
Not a guilty verdict by any means.
Exactly. It's more like the beginning of an investigation, not the end.
So you're saying it's like getting called in for questioning by the cops, not getting convicted in court.
Perfect analogy. And Justice Powell also said that if every single complaint triggered an immediate court battle, things would get crazy.
Yeah, I can imagine. Courts would be flooded with cases, investigations would be constantly interrupted.
Right. He called it piecemeal litigation and argued it would totally undermine the agency's ability to do its job properly.
Makes sense. But didn't SoCal argue that the complaint itself was already damaging their reputation? Like, regardless of the final outcome?
They did, but the court basically said, look, you got to follow the process.
So tough luck for SoCal.
Kinda. Justice Powell basically argued that letting companies run to court every time they got a complaint would just bring the whole system to a screeching halt.
Okay, so majority opinion, no court challenge until the FTC's done its thing. But wait, wasn't there a concurring opinion too?
Oh, you're remembering Justice Stevens. He agreed with the outcome, but focused on a different angle.
He's always got a unique perspective. What was his take?
He said issuing a complaint doesn't actually change any legal rights or obligations, It's just a starting point for investigation.
Ah, so he's saying the complaint itself doesn't carry the weight of a law. More like an FYI, we're looking into this kind of thing.
Exactly. And get this, he compared FTC complaints to grand jury indictments.
Whoa, interesting comparison. I'm seeing where you're going with this.
Right. Both are accusations that need more digging, more proof, doesn't automatically equal guilt.
Like, just because you're indicted doesn't mean you're going to jail. You still get your day in court, a chance to fight back.
Exactly. So both opinions basically said no shortcuts, SoCal, but for slightly different reasons.
This is fascinating. So the grand jury comparison. What does that really mean for businesses facing an FTC complaint?
Well, it highlights that the complaint is just the first chapter in a potentially long story. Not the end of the world, but definitely something to take seriously.
So don't panic, but don't ignore it either, right?
You got it. We'll unpack all that and more in the next part of our deep dive, so stay tuned. That grand jury thing, right? It really stuck with me.
Me too. It just makes the whole thing so much more relatable. You know, like anyone could be in that situation facing an investigation, even if they haven't done anything wrong.
Absolutely. It's a tough spot to be in. And that's why understanding the legal side of it is so important. Like, it's not a guilty verdict just because the FTC is looking into something.
Right. Just like an indictment doesn't mean you're going to jail.
Exactly. It just means they have enough, I guess you could say, concern to warrant further investigation, not the end of the story.
So instead of freaking out and trying to, like, fight the whole process, it's smarter to focus on building a solid defense while the agency is doing their thing.
You got it. Use that time to gather evidence, you know, make your case. Maybe even try to work out a settlement.
It's like, okay, they're going to look into it. Might as well make sure they get the whole picture.
Right. The agency's process is supposed to be fair, impartial. So it's a chance to, you know, tell your side of the story.
Okay. I'm seeing how FTC v. SoCal is bigger than just one company versus the FTC. It really sets the stage for how businesses should approach any agency investigation, right?
Huge impact, yeah. I mean, it's a cornerstone of administrative law, cited in tons of cases, not just antitrust stuff.
So this whole idea of exhausting administrative remedies before going to court, that's pretty much across the board, like no matter what agency's involved.
Generally, yeah. Courts want to see that you've tried to work things out within the agency first, you know? Like, they're giving the agencies the benefit of the doubt that they'll handle things properly.
Okay, that makes sense. Respect the process, respect the agency's expertise, all that. But can you give us an example of how this played out in, like, a totally different situation?
Sure. How about Bennett v. Speer? Went all the way to the Supreme Court in 97.
Okay, what happened there?
It involved a challenge to a biological opinion issued by the Fish and Wildlife Service.
Endangered Species Act stuff?
Yep. Some ranchers argued that the opinion, which was trying to protect a certain fish, would end up hurting their water rights.
So totally different players, different law. But the core principle from SoCal still applied.
You bet. The court in Bennett actually cited SoCal as precedent, emphasizing that judicial review should only come after a final agency action. Like, let the agency do its job first.
It's almost like the courts are saying, we trust you to handle this the right way, but if you mess up, we'll be here to fix it.
It is a bit of a balancing act, isn't it? You got to hold agencies accountable, but you also got to give them the space to make those tough calls.
Right. It's complicated. But there's got to be a limit, right? Like, what if an agency does something totally crazy or clearly illegal during an investigation? Do companies just have to sit there and take it?
Now you're getting to the heart of the matter. That's a question that lawyers are still debating today. So Cal set a strong precedent for deferring to agencies. But there are some situations where courts might be willing to step in early.
Okay, now we're talking. Tell me more about these exceptions to the rule. When would a court say, hold on, this has gone too far?
Well, one big one is when a company can prove that the agency's actions are causing irreparable harm, you know, like damage that can't be fixed later, even if they win the case.
So not just bad PR or a temporary financial hit. It's got to be something way more serious, like a lasting impact.
You got it. The bar for proving irreparable harm is really high.
It's like you got to convince the court that the investigation itself is the problem, not just the possible outcome.
Right. Think of it this way. They have to prove that the investigation is causing the harm, not whatever the agency might decide in the end.
Gotcha. Any examples of this in the real world?
So, like, imagine a company, right, that's put tons of time and money into developing a new drug.
Okay, yeah, like a pharmaceutical company.
Exactly. They're about to get FDA approval, but then, say, a competitor gets worried, right?
The competition heats up.
Yeah. So they file this citizen petition with the FDA, claiming there are safety concerns with the drug.
Oh, I see where this is going. Trying to stall things.
Right. And the FDA, they got to investigate, so the approval gets put on hold.
Meanwhile, the company's just hanging in limbo.
Total limbo.
Yeah.
And let's say this delay spooks investors, clinical trials get messed up, maybe even patients who need the drug can't get it.
Whoa, that's serious.
Right. So the company could argue that the damage from this delay, it's irreparable, regardless of whether the drug ultimately gets approved.
It's not just about money. It's about potential lives lost, missed opportunities. That's a strong argument for a court to step in.
Definitely. And courts have recognized this. There's a case, Abbott Laboratories v. Gardner, where the Supreme Court actually said that pre-enforcement review of a regulation was okay because, you know, it would force drug companies to make expensive changes, even if they later proved the regulation was wrong.
The damage would be done no matter what.
Exactly. So it's about stopping that harm before it happens while the agency is still figuring things out.
Makes sense. So that's one exception, irreparable harm. You mentioned there were others, like, what else might a court jump in early?
Another situation is when the agency clearly messes up legally, like a blatant violation of the law or even their own rules.
So if they're overstepping their bounds, being totally unreasonable, ignoring due process, that's when the courts might say, nope, not cool.
Exactly. There's a case, Leadham v. Kine, where a union challenged the National Labor Relations Board because they certified a bargaining unit that was against the law.
So the court basically said, you can't even investigate this way. You're breaking the rules. Like, it's about making sure everyone plays fair, even the agencies.
Absolutely. And this is where having a good lawyer is key. They can help you figure out if your situation calls for early court action and make the best arguments for why a court should intervene.
Sounds like a tricky balancing act, respecting agency power, but also protecting your own rights.
It is. And that's why FTC v. SoCal is so important. It shows that while agencies get a lot of deference, it's not unlimited. Knowing when to push back is crucial.
This has been a fantastic deep dive. We've gone from one oil company all the way to the big picture of judicial review and administrative law.
And we've seen how the finality rule works, including those exceptions that can be a lifesaver for businesses facing tough situations.
If our listeners take away one thing, it's this. Don't feel powerless just because an agency is investigating you. Know your rights, and don't be afraid to fight back strategically if you have to.
Couldn't have said it better myself. The more you understand about the legal system, the better you can navigate it. And that's what we're all about.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of administrative law. We'll see you next time for another exploration of the legal issues that matter most to businesses.